Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This show looks at the career of Anne Francis, the underrated child model turned actress. I hope you enjoy the show. The final lyrics in that opening titles music from the Rocky Horror Picture Show immortalised Anne Francis in movie history, and the cult nature of that particular film has heightened her own cult status. She was a unique 50s actress, a cross between the Marilyn Monroe Jane Mansfield bombshell and the Grace Kelly Audrey Hepburn smart vixen. People weren't used to this at the time, and it proved to be a hindrance to her film career, despite her immense talent. As Time magazine wrote of her, her beauty cloaked her brains without obscuring them. She was born in 1930 near Sing Sing Prison in Ossining, New York, as the only child to a salesman and his wife. She became a model at the age of five during the Great Depression and was soon supporting the family doing TV and radio work. She debuted on Broadway aged 11 in Lady in the Dark, starring Gertrude Lawrence. She had long, shapely legs, flowing blonde hair, mesmerizing blue eyes, and a mole to the right of her lower lip. How could she fail? MGM signed her as a teenager, and she appeared in several films in uncredited roles before playing in So Young, So Bad as a delinquent girl in a reform school run by Paul Henreid. Henreid only agreed to appear in the film if he had artistic control, and he auditioned 300 girls before choosing the inmates, including Anne Francis and Rita Moreno. His deal gave him 50% of the profits, and he said he made more money from this film than any other. The next year, Anne was cast in Robert Siodmak's The Whistle at Eton Falls, an excellent drama about the closure of factories in New England, starring Lloyd Bridges. She had a small role, but was able to sing with Carlton Carpenter.
Every other day, I'm in love with you.
Every other day, it's true, I'm so completely sold on you.
Every other night, you're my only dream.
Every other night, I seem to figure us a team. And on the days that fall between, there's nothing much to do but think what fun to be the one who's dreamed about by you.
Starting from today, if you give the cue,
every single
her star continued to rise in the early 50s, and she played opposite Clifton Webb, Dale Robertson, James Cagney, and James Coburn before really showing her chops as George Raft's drunken plaything in Rogue Cop in 1954. In 1955, she was the only female in John Sturges' cult classic Bad Day at Black Rock. The film combined a Western with a noir, which was a novel idea at the time. Spencer Tracy, Sturges, and Millard Kaufman, the writer, all gained Oscar nominations. Originally, it was planned to have no music, but Andre Previn eventually provided a great score.
Thank you.
1955 was a busy year for her. Bad Day at Black Rock was followed by Battle Cry, Raoul Walsh's saga of a group of young Marines in war and in love, starring Van Heflin and Aldo Ray. Then she played Glenn Ford's wife in another groundbreaker, The Blackboard Jungle, directed by Richard Brooks, about a new teacher at a violent inner-city school. Amongst the pupils are Sidney Poitier and Vic Morrow in a great film debut.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, home. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the clock strikes 2, 3, and 4, if the band slows down, we'll yell for more. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. When the chimes ring 5, 6, and 7, we'll be right in seventh heaven. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Oh, when it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 2, I'll be going strong and so will you. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. We're gonna rock, rock, rock till broad daylight. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
She finished off 1955 in a second John Sturges film, a period piece, The Scarlet Coat, with Cornel Wilde, Michael Wilding and George Sanders, but it was 1956 that would give her the part she would be remembered for. Forbidden Planet was the first sci-fi film to be taken seriously and had the budget to prove it. The plot was loosely based on Shakespeare's The Tempest. An Earth spaceship is sent to a far-flung planet to find out what happened to an earlier expedition that has disappeared. It's a plot setup that's been well used ever since, and the film should be considered the genuine precursor to Star Trek. Gene Roddenberry admitted it was the main inspiration for the show, which came a decade later. One of Anne Francis's costumes, a miniskirt, led to the film being banned in Spain, which was at the time under Franco's dictatorship. It was originally conceived as a B-picture, but the budget ballooned out of control. Upon release, the film barely made back its costs, but it secured a place in history. It is beautifully made and well worth a view. It was the first movie to have a soundtrack composed entirely on electronic instruments.
Thank you.
The same year she played Paul Newman's wife in The Rack, about a POW in Korea who is court-martialed for collaborating with the enemy. Rod Serling wrote the screenplay, and it's a neglected movie.
Don't go near the water, near the water. Stay away from the bay, they say. Don't go near the water, 'cause the water's for fishes.
For rinsing the dishes.
For lawns that are fading away. Don't go near the water, stay away from the water today. Don't go near the water, near the water. Stay away from the bay, they say. Don't go near the water, 'cause the water's for drinking.
For shirts that be shrinking.
For waiters to spill from a tray. Don't go near the water, stay away from the water today. It's grand on the land, 'cause the land that we stand on is durable. But the sea, oh the sea, we've a longing to see it, that's almost incurable. Don't go near the water, stay away from the bay, they say. Don't go near the water, find the driest of places, some inland oasis like Kansas and Old Iowa. Don't go near the water, stay away from the water today. It's grand on the land, 'cause the land that we stand on is durable. But the sea, oh the sea, we've a longing to see it, that's almost incurable. Don't go near the water, stay away from the bay, they say. Don't go near the water. There are dames we could yearn for that we might return for.
But so far we've not sailed away.
Don't go near the water. Stay away from the water.
You know that you ought to.
Stay away from the water today.
By the end of the 50s, there was a lack of film opportunities for Frances, and she made the decision to move to television. It proved a success for her. She appeared in two of the best Twilight Zone episodes, The After Hours and Jess Bell, and in 1965 she became the first woman to carry a TV series in Honey West, about a female private eye, complete with pet ocelot, a male assistant, and a bag full of judo and karate moves to bring down her opponents. She first appeared as Honey West in an episode of Burke's Law, and Aaron Spelling saw the appeal of the character enough to produce a spin-off series. He would later create Charlie's Angels, of course. Unfortunately, The Avengers became a hit in the UK, and rather than continue the series, ABC decided to cancel Honey West and import The Avengers instead.
Thank you.
Although she had moved to TV, Anne made several notable films in the 60s. In Girl of the Night, she played a cool girl in New York, caught in her own personal hell, and she's outstanding. Interestingly enough, the week before this film was released, Butterfield 8 came out and earned Liz Taylor an Oscar for a similar role. Brainstorm in 1965 saw her play a drunken wife who gets involved with one of her husband's employees. They then plot his death and devise an ingenious way of escaping the law. Directed by William Conrad, this film is worth watching too. The Satan Bug, also in 1965, saw John Sturges use Anne again. Based on a novel by Alastair MacLean, a germ capable of destroying human life is stolen from a lab and the thief threatens to unleash it on the world. In 1968, she appeared in William Wyler's Funny Girls, starring Barbara Streisand, and it became the highest-grossing film of the year, although Streisand had reduced her role to little more than a cameo. Then in 1969, she played Jerry Lewis's wife in the comedy Hook, Line and Sinker, followed by Impasse with a young Burt Reynolds looking for gold in the Philippines. But after this, her film appearances were few and far between. Her private life was kept pretty private, and neither of her husbands were in the movie business. The first was a USAF pilot, and the second was a dentist, with whom she had a daughter. She was one of the first single women in California to adopt, after her second divorce in 1970. She was diagnosed with lung cancer and fought it off bravely with chemotherapy, but succumbed to pancreatic cancer in 2011 in Santa Barbara. Anne Francis may not have gained the recognition she deserved, but her portfolio of film roles attests to her acting ability. She appeared in very few bad films, which shows either good luck or good judgment or both, and several of them were groundbreaking. John Sturges obviously believed in her. He used her in three of his films. It remains to be said that if you see her name on the cast list of any film, take a look.
A secret love that lived within the heart of me. All too soon, my secret love became impatient to be free. So I told friendly star the way that dreamers often do, just how wonderful you are and why I'm so in love with you. Secret love's no secret secret love's no secret.